amazing. Thank God that we're going to be able to come together real soon. We need to pull together, young people. We need to be a strong force for the kingdom of God. God can use you mightily. You are not too young to be used of God. We believe in you. We are praying for you. I am praying for each and every one of you, and I know Pastor is. God bless you. I can't wait to see you and be together real soon. Thank God.
All right. That was tremendous, Sister Clark. I very, very, very much enjoyed it. And the things that you had to say to our youth were very, very good. I would just like to make a few remarks also concerning what is taking place and also our young people. Before I forget, I wanted to mention that when you call into the conference call, there is some music, and if you call in early enough, it'll play through the whole choir song and then back through it again. It's really, really good, so I encourage you to listen to it. I wish that the quality was better, but my wife, I think Sister Marie, sent this to my wife, and I've listened to it over and over again, but it's a very simple song that they're singing. And that song that they're singing is that one more time, that the Lord allowed us to come together one more time. So that's going to be the theme that we are going to stay with until we as a church are able to come together. I want to say that I really, really appreciate my wife, her life, and also as a young person, she was very, very faithful to the Lord and hung in there. And this was one of the things that caused me to begin to think about her because of her good report. And I remember her youth leader of her home church was talking to me one day and was telling me that she was really a faithful young person and a blessing to the church, playing the piano, the organ, and helping out. But my mind is going back for a few moments, young people, to myself when I was a teenager and my wife. And I don't want to always just talk about things that happened in my life, but I believe we should and not be afraid to talk about it. The greatest thing that all of us have is our personal testimony. It is what Paul in the Word of God talked about over and over again was his experience and what happened to him. And, you know, when it comes to witnessing to people, they may disagree with your doctrine. They may want to argue or contest what you're saying about the Word of God and how you view it. But when it comes to your personal testimony, no one can say anything about that. No one can deny it. No one can say it wasn't real because it happened to you. But I'm thinking back to the 60s when I was a teenager. And it was a wild revolutionary time. And it was a revolution of sex and drugs, revolting against authority. The Vietnam War was going, and there were protests about the war. It was a very, very turbulent time. Miniskirts came in. Sexual freedom came about with immorality. The hippies were moving along. Some were living in communes, and it was just a hodgepodge of immorality. Woodstock. I could go on with a long list of things that happened during that time. It was a revolutionary time, and all types of drugs were being used, from mescaline and speed and LSD, marijuana, and the list goes on and on. And here I was, a teenager, in the midst of all of this, and there is no doubt that there was a battle for my soul. And but it's not changed. We may not be dealing with the things of the 60s today, but we're dealing with a long list of other things. Gender confusion and perversion, And it's a whole other list, but it's still Satan battling for the souls of you young people that are here. And I'll just be honest with you. It was the mercy, mercy, mercy of God that I did not backslide. My dad wasn't in the church, and so I didn't have pressure from both of my folks to come to church. My mom got in the church, and I thank the Lord for that when I was 14 years old. But I was working at the grocery store. I was making good money. I had my own automobile and paid for everything. I didn't ask my folks to pay for anything. And they were glad to help out, but I just wanted to make it. And it was during that kind of a environment that I found myself lukewarm. And I would still go to church. There was something down deep that just said, don't backslide. Don't backslide. If you do, you're going to regret it. You're going to have to deal with the fact I backslid. You may do some things that are not right. You may get so messed up, you may not get back to God. And so something about that, my grandmother told me that after I got the Holy Ghost as just a kid in her bedroom at our home one night. She said, son, don't ever backslide. And those words helped me when I was the weakest. And the reason I was so weak was because I believed in God and knew the doctrine was right. I knew it was the right way to live. It was just me. I was so weak. And so here I was in the cycle. I would be at church Sunday morning, sometimes working Sunday afternoon, come in late Sunday night to church. And I got so tired of being condemned and being lukewarm and hearing about the coming of the Lord and praying through on a Sunday night and touching God and then, you know, not doing good all week. I was really getting tired of the pattern that I was in. And I there was something that started crying out down deep that said, you know what, I've got to get out of this. I've got to get out of this. And so what I started doing was I started to really, really get a hold of God. And the reason I'm telling you this, young people, is there are two things that I want to tell you that you have that are very, very important. And that is, you must understand that your power of decision is life-changing. The devil does not want you to believe that. He wants you to minimize the power that you have to be decisive and to make a decision. I'll never forget when I first heard someone use the word decisive. They told me, they said, you're decisive. And I thought, what does that really mean? They said, we can tell you, you're able to make a decision and stick with it. And I began to think about that as time went on. And it was the Lord helping me to realize how much power that I had, with a decision. And I want to say to all of our young people, come back to this in just a moment, you have great power in your decision-making process. Secondly, the other thing I want to talk about that has affected young people and affected people everywhere is being unable to forgive yourself. So when you don't understand the power of a decision and when you can't ask the Lord to give you an understanding and really get an understanding of forgiveness, you're going to be handicapped. You're going to limp along. And when these two things begin to come about, it is powerful what will begin to take place. But, I'm thinking as a teenager in high school and, I was in the church. I went, but I wasn't right. It's a miserable place to be. I wasn't on fire to where I could really be a witness, but I didn't backslide. And the kids knew that I was in some kind of a church and lived for God, but I wasn't really the best influence and witness. And I remember standing at Modesto High School before school would start, and I would look around at all the kids that were standing out there talking and smoking And I looked at all that. Smoking, I was never tempted to do that because I was raised in a home where my parents smoked, and I didn't want that. Drugs, I was not tempted with drugs because I knew the drugs were a bad, bad deal. And I had heard too many of the kids talk about bad trips on LSD and problems that happened to them, even emotionally, that affected them and physically. But the other two things that were going was, of course, immorality and drinking. And those were things that that I had to battle with. Thank God he kept his hand upon me. I never did drink, but I was tempted to. And of course, being tempted to be immoral in that day and time, and just the freedom and that was going on with that, and girls coming up and talking about being intimate and having sex and all of that. But anyway, I'll never forget, I finally made my mind up because I was sick and tired. And I said, this is it. I'm going to make a change. And I started with this. Before I'd go to work, I would get in my car and go early and drive outside of town and make myself sit there in the car and begin to pray in just a very simple way. But that was the beginning of a buildup of discipline that was going to serve me the rest of my life. I remember one day taking my sister Colleen, Sister Mantooth, to school one day, and I had a day off. I was about 17, and I didn't work that day and was already out of school, and I went to the church, and it was these altars that were built that helped me. And I was so hungry for God, I dropped her off, drove to the church, got there about, about 9 o'clock, and stayed there in prayer until about 2 o'clock when it was time to go get her for school and take her home. It helped me. Young people, let me tell you, build an altar. Abraham built altars everywhere he went. The Bible talks about those altars that he built. Saul, in the time with Saul and David, Saul, there's no record of him building an altar anywhere, unlike David, who frequently built altars and humbled himself and worshiped the Lord. And so I want to tell you this. Don't underestimate. Some of you have got it. You have got it, young people. You need to find, you know, like a baby finds their voice for the first time, and they can see, they can scream and make noise and do all of that. You need to find your voice spiritually and in discipline. And God is going to help you. You've got it. You've got it. Some of you girls that think that you're weak and you're so easily influenced, you've got it. You can make a decision that's going to help you. And then I want to talk to you about forgiveness. I cannot tell you how many people are backslidden today and simply not serving God because they simply can't forgive yourself. Get a revelation, young people. Ask God to help you. It doesn't matter what you've done. Begin to accept his forgiveness. Get a revelation of it so that you can move on with God and do what God is calling you to do. The call of God is strong, and it's upon many, many of you. And so, young people, it's going to be like this. You are either going to influence or you're going to be influenced. You're either going to be someone that can help others and influence others or be influenced. You want to know how? That you need to know whether some of the friends that you have that you need to be running with or not. It's just this simple. Who influences who? If they're influencing you, if they're a good influence, you need to be around them. But if they're a bad influence, you don't need to be around them. If you're able to be strong enough to influence them, and I know all parents feel this way, and I don't feel worthy to say this, but I remember one of the young people that was one of my best friends in my home church. His dad came to me and said, "Brother Cliff," he said, "I really like you. I'm glad that you're friends with my son because we trust you that you are going to influence him in the right way." I will never forget I will never forget it. The day that he said that to me, I felt so humbled. I felt like such a responsibility was on me, and it has served me well. This is the type of potential that is among all of our young people. And young people, I love you. I thank God for Brother Stephen, Sister Vanessa, and Sean, and Jeannie. Thank you, thank you, thank you for good leadership. But you need to begin to make up your mind. I am going to be trusted. I am going to be an influencer. And as a result of that, you know what? Because of making some decisions and making some statements, I mean little tiny things that has to do with peer pressure. I remember getting in the car after church with some of the young people and the radio being turned on to a worldly station of worldly music. Simple things. Somebody just needs to find their voice. I just simply spoke up and said, hey, turn the radio off. We're not going to listen to that. We've just come out of church. We want to do right. It was enough to influence. And so when the young people in my home church, and I thank God for this, this is only his mercy, when they got busted for drugs, I wasn't with them. And I wasn't with them because they liked me and respected me, and there was a good feeling, but they didn't want me to be there because their feeling was, no, we're not going to ask him to go with us. I want to tell you, little things like that, God is going to use when you make the right decisions and begin to reach out, that God will help you to be at the right place at the right time and not be at the wrong place at the wrong time. And he'll keep his hand upon you, and you begin to see that as you dedicate, then he is going to dedicate also. Let's pray. Jesus, I love you tonight. I want to thank you for this time on this Sunday evening that my wife and I have had with all of our young people. I thank you and thank you and thank you for everything that you have done. Lord God, I pray for them. I pray that they feel and know that you love them and that they know that my wife and I, as their pastor, loves them. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. God bless you, and we're sure looking forward to a good week. And devotion in the morning, devotion tomorrow night. So God bless you. God bless you, Brother Vic. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Pastor and Sister Clark. Church, aren't you thankful and grateful for our pastor and Sister Clark? As they're speaking tonight, I couldn't help but to realize just how honest and how real